Hi, this is Scott Roberts of the Dexter Podcast, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast. I'm Marla Johns Esser, the Green Home Coach.
I'm Tony Pratt with The Sound Room.
Well, there's so many components to building and remodeling and managing a house.
Oh.
I mean, you think of all the topics we've talked about just on this podcast, and we've just brushed the surface.
You know, it always makes you laugh when you have that client that says, oh yeah, I'm going to general contract my house construction myself. And you just look and say, oh yeah, this will go well.
Well, I'm sure it does sometimes.
Sure, sometimes it does, but that's usually somebody that's been in the trades.
Right.
Been in the industry.
And knows what it's all about. Because it's a lot of moving parts that have to coordinate just right.
Yes.
To have a good end product.
There is an actual flow to the whole process.
There is. I worked on a project where we were remodeling, oh boy, over 40 units in a multifamily project. And we were moving people out of units, demoing them, and then putting them back together,
sure,
remodeling them, and then moving people in behind that. And I have to tell you, the gentleman that managed all of that was just a wizard. I'd never seen anything like it. And he had it down to a science. It was impressive.
But logistically, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And all the pieces that have to happen at the right time and in the right order. You know, it's kind of hard to put a roof on before there's walls, and you have all these different things have to happen in the right order or they just don't work. So at any rate, it is crazy as you learn more and more about it, you begin to have a better appreciation why homeowners sometimes feel a little overwhelmed with all the things in their home. And I hope with what we've been able to bring to the table with the Green Gab, we're helping homeowners to understand how to break it down.
Kind of shed a little light on the subject.
Yeah. You know, speaking of shed, I had to segue in there somewhere.
You know, I got to learn to keep my mouth shut.
Never. One of the key things that gets really interesting once you're in a house is keeping that house well-maintained and in tip-top shape.
Right.
And one of the biggest enemies of our built structures and our homes, too, is water.
Oh, yes.
And water comes up in our conversations in so many ways. Water conservation, stormwater runoff, flooding, rain. But it just really pervades our life in so many ways. I'm not sure we always remember that.
And water is all around us.
It is. Well, gosh, what percentage of the earth is covered with water? 70-something percent?
Yeah.
It is a big deal. But what's also crazy is how many homes get destroyed, and I should have looked up the insurance stats, so hopefully somebody will comment on this and fill us in. But the percentage of homes that are covered under major insurance claims because of damage by water.
Whether
and
it's
that's
floods,
not just flood water.
Hurricane, moisture, you
mold,
name it.
Mildew.
Busted pipes,
mm-hmm.
You name it.
So it's kind of crazy because number one, you have to think, wow, water comes in so many forms. I mean, just from a physics perspective, right? You've got vapor,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the misty, moisty stuff we don't see. Think of a hot shower. Humidity, which can still be vapor, but it's the natural humidity occurring typically.
Right.
And you don't want too much of that in your house, or too little. But you also have the water that comes through your plumbing.
Right.
And then you've got rainwater on the outside. So, I mean, you got water coming at you from all directions.
Don't forget snow and ice.
Well, yeah, because that's just kind of another form of rainwater, but yeah.
Yep.
So as homeowners and residents of homes, we're constantly contending with water and balancing it, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Like humidity, for instance. You need some, but too much is a bad thing.
Right.
But not enough is a bad thing. So we're constantly striving to hit the sweet spot. Do you know what sweet spot is, by the way?
Oh, is it somewhere between 40 and 60%?
30 and 60 is what we consider for green home certification. Okay. So 40 and 60 would be within that realm. But anything below 30, stuff's going to start getting too dry and crackly, and then you get all the static, and it also, your indoor air quality tends to go a little bit on the not so great side.
Right.
So that good balance of humidity is going to keep your indoor air quality better, going to keep the furnishings and your finishes, like wood in particular, healthier and better. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But if you have too much humidity, what's going to happen?
Oh, that's bad.
It is.
I do know that.
Mold, mildew. I had a friend that lost her entire home due to black mold.
Yeah, you told me about her.
Oh, it's just a heartbreaking story. They were sick for 2 years, and then they lost their house on top of it.
Yeah, it's just, that's incredible when you think about it.
And black mold's in particular a very nasty strain of mold, and it's hard to get rid of.
Right.
But with the increase, well, with asthma being basically at epidemic levels, mold can really make a lot of people really, really sick.
Right, especially if they're already having those breathing issues.
Right. So what's so crazy is that mold sometimes sneaks in ways that we don't expect. For instance, having the wrong kind of wall covering on a wall might trap moisture in the wall, and the mold would be inside the wall. So you'd never see it. Or I've heard of instances, personally not experienced them, thank goodness, where mold gets inside the ductwork.
Right.
Or humidity gets inside the ductwork and there's mold.
And that's just going to spread it all through the house.
Right. So you're just shooting mold spores out every time your air handler comes on.
Oof.
Which sounds really pleasant, doesn't it?
Not really. No, not really.
Controlling the vapor, the water in your house and the humidity in your house, and those two do go hand in hand, is really important, which means you need to run your exhaust fans. You need to make sure that you're keeping an eye on it. You need to look at the kind of wall coverings you have, especially in wet areas like your bathroom and your kitchen. Because if you don't have something breathable, those walls are going to potentially have an issue. What happens with proper drainage on the outside? Because if you get water sneaking in your walls from the outside, that can create an issue as
Whether
well.
Whether it's from the foundation, the wall itself.
Yeah. And simple things like a window not being installed correctly can hold water inside the window frame or inside the wall, and then you've got another issue that you don't know about. So water's our friend.
And water's our enemy.
Right. Hey, let's take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk about some other ways we can keep water on the friendly side.
All right, sounds good.
Be right back.
Jack Bauer fan, Jack is not back, but 24 is, in the form of 24 Legacy. It's time for more 24 Legacy, which means it's time for more 24 fans. Check out the best 24 fans appreciating 24 Legacy now over at 24LegacyFans.com. That's 24LegacyFans.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can, with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Magazine, radio, and television ads are efforts that people might see or hear once, and then they're lost forever. Perpetual advertising provides you with the chance for repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, even years after it's originally inserted inside a podcast. So even after your advertising is included in a podcast years ago, those efforts are still impactful, providing you with true return on investment. Real impact, thanks to perpetual advertising. Are you ready to change the way you and your company or organization advertises? Find out more and launch a unique perpetual advertising effort right now by visiting twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing the Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From the Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Mm-hmm. Marla and Tony, still gabbing green on the Green Gab podcast here today, and moisture management is the topic of the day. It sounds kind of boring, doesn't it?
Not really. Remember, water's all around.
It is. I know so many people that have issues with mold and mildew, and that all stems from the moisture in our homes and not managing it right.
Yeah, it's not really uncommon. I mean, it's when you think of, yes, today we build for it. We understand this. You know, building science is advanced to the point where it understands you need water barriers in the house. But if you're in a house that's, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, well, you
no
might
telling.
Not be so lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, no telling what you're going to find, because there's definitely been big strides in building materials and processes and practices.
Absolutely. I mean, my house, you know, built around World War II. It rains, it leaks. I have a drain in the middle of the house in the basement, you know?
Yep.
And every morning after a rainstorm, I can walk downstairs. I can see the pathways right to it. But it leaves my house. At least it dries up.
Well, and that's why you have a drain.
Exactly.
That is your moisture mitigation path.
It is.
There you go. It may be a very simple approach, but sometimes simple is really the best.
Simplicity works.
This is true. So the secret is, with our homes being basically assaulted by water on the outside in the form of rain and snow and ice and weather, and on the inside from our plumbing and from vapor and humidity in the air, what we as homeowners and users of our homes need to figure out is how to keep that in balance.
Right.
So, big thing is, what happens when that moisture isn't visible? When you can't see that there's a leak or that moisture is pooling in a certain place? So let's talk about a few of the places that people ought to keep an eye out for.
Okay.
When inside of walls is the one that hits my mind first.
You know, the wall issue is huge. The problem becomes, how do you know?
Right, because you have to see in the walls.
Yes.
Trouble, or wait till it leaks out.
And I always say trouble spots in walls are usually common walls that are with bathrooms.
Okay, plumbing.
Any kind of a kitchen sink. If you're in a room that has ice makers, dishwashers, laundry rooms, any kind of areas that have plumbing in the walls, these could be potential trouble spots.
And a lot of those actually, like in the laundry room, a lot of times there's a drain.
Yes.
So at least if there is an overflow
or something.
Yeah, and there's like an overflow. We see that with water heaters where there's a pan and usually an overflow as well. So what's a good tip for homeowners? Check things frequently, or at least once in a while, I think is a great way to start. Check under your sinks.
Check under your sinks. Look for certain signs like cabinetry's warping.
Right.
Paint seems to be
bubbling
on the wall. Floors are cupping. These are usually telltale signs that you have a leak somewhere.
Right. And not what any of us want to see.
No.
But the sooner you catch it, the less damage it's going to do.
If you can catch it early, chances are you won't have too much mold festering. If you catch it really early, you won't have any, because you can at least get in there, rip out floors, rip out whatever you need to, and make the repairs and the mitigation.
Know where your shutoff valves are, too.
Yes. Very important.
Because if there is an issue in your homes, you want to be able to get to them as quickly as possible. So toilets usually have their own shutoff valves. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes an ice maker line will have its own shutoff valve. You'll have a master shutoff valve typically. That one, if you don't know where the individual ones are, just go to that one. Or if there's a big issue, just go to that one. What other shutoff valves might people, or other places people might find shutoff valves? Laundry, maybe. Yeah.
Absolutely, laundry.
Yeah. And then is there one typically to the dishwasher? I don't know that there is in my house.
I think there is.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing one.
Yeah, I've never seen one on my dishwasher.
And that's the other place that I've found that leaks sometimes is the garbage disposal.
Oh, good point.
Under the sink. And it seems like so many times the bottom of the cabinet underneath the kitchen sink gets wet. And I think some of it is just from us reaching in there with wet hands. But having some kind of a liner is going to preserve that cabinet so it doesn't become damaged by water and warped. And you can get them pretty easily at our stores, you know.
Oh, if nothing else, the liners that they used to use for dishes.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy one of those down there.
I actually saw one that was specifically an under sink liner. so that it would protect it from moisture.
Oh, you can find them just about anywhere.
So with a little bit of common sense thought, you can at least keep an eye out for the leaks in the obvious places. And the ones in the walls, a little harder to spot.
Yes. And usually by the time you see it, it's too late anyway. You're going to have to repair.
Right. But the sooner you catch it, the less repair you're going to have to do. So definitely get on it. And if you let a leak go, it can do some pretty massive damage. And if it starts getting into serious mold and mildew, that can really impact a lot of the house.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get to a point where you have too much, I mean, the house is going to be a lost cause.
Right. I remember when my mom bought a house years ago, way back in the early 90s, and it was a house that had sat for some time. And when we were in there getting that house cleaned up for them to move in, there was all kind of mildew in that house. Oh my gosh, I don't do well with mildew personally. So I was like sneezing my head off. I get flu-like symptoms. So what I should have done was worn a mask and gloves, and I did not. So if you suspect there's mold or mildew in an area that you are going to be in dealing with and cleaning it up, do wear a mask and gloves, especially if you're sensitive to it, or hire a professional to come in and treat it, because it does make an awful lot of folks pretty sick.
Well, and you made a good point. The house was sitting for a while.
It was.
So when that house is sitting, the question becomes, is the air being conditioned? Is the air being heated?
And it wasn't. Everything was turned off.
Right. And that's what really makes it worse. Because if it's, depending on where you're at, if it's hot outside, if it's humid outside, it's going to be very humid in that house.
You remember when we had all that rain a spring or two ago here in St. Louis? And I remember some of the builders talking that they had homes that they were almost finished, but they turned the air conditioning off for some reason.
Yeah.
And they had all those humidity problems. They had to rework pieces of the house because of that.
Yeah, tons of houses.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was nasty.
And that was all because of the excess moisture in the air, because air conditioning does take a lot of the humidity out. So when you quit running the air conditioning, that humidity builds
up. You remember
up.
There was a run on temporary on-site humidifiers. People were grabbing them from
dehumidifiers.
Like the new ways and things. Yeah, and they were getting them to the house to dry them out. I remember that.
I do too.
And it was the production homes that got hit with it because the customs, they kept the houses conditioned.
Right.
That was part of the deal.
And I don't remember why they turned the air conditioning systems off. I just remember it happening.
I think it was just a budget thing.
It may have been.
Because that was right when the market had kind of turned.
Yep, you're right.
And
about
I remember.
That.
The amount of construction we were doing had just exploded at that time based on where it was the last couple years. And a lot of the builders hadn't recouped financially yet, so they were cutting costs.
So, bigger picture is be careful what you do. There may be unintended consequences, so think it through. And by the way, folks, if you turn your air conditioning off for extended amounts of time, for instance, while you're on vacation, you may want to keep it on a higher temperature, but so it runs once in a while, if nothing else, just to dehumidify the house. Food for thought.
Very good point.
Hey, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search. Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Everyone knows what identity theft is, right? Well, maybe not. Learn more by listening at scammercast.com.
Hey, podcast fans. Ever wanted to learn sign language? How about learning more about the deaf and hard of hearing culture? Well, the time and effort has come to allow you to do just that. Don't miss the Interpreter's Toolbox podcast from Two Guys Talking. Great sign language vocabulary lessons, contests, stories, and more are waiting for you after you watch this new video podcast. Check out InterpreterToolbox.com for more details and get cash and prizes for your comments now. It's all about life. InterpreterToolbox.com.
The
Back on the Green Gab podcast. Hey, it's all about moisture. Not in my house, right?
My house gets a little wet sometimes, but then again, it's old.
Hey, reality sets in and so does the water, right?
Yes.
And keeping it out is important.
It's a battle. I just have to remind myself, water took down the Grand Canyon. It can take down my house.
Nah, we're not going to let that happen. You're too smart for that.
Well, I know. That's why it's an ever-present battle, though. You have to be vigilant and always on guard.
So that's a cool thing, though, about newer houses is they're built with different and more up-to-date moisture management practices
absolutely.
And materials in them.
Absolutely. My house was built in 1943, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, resources were scarce as it is, and the technology that we have today just did not exist. Our understanding of how houses worked did
right.
not exist.
Oh, yeah, we've come so far.
My house has a coal bin in it. That should be enough said right there.
There
okay?
you go.
You look at a house today, the science of the house is so much advanced.
Yeah.
And everybody, every builder there is understands moisture and how to keep it out of the house.
And that's important. I mean, it's a really...
Oh, absolutely.
And that's part, if you buy a newly built house, that's something that's covered in your warranty.
Oh, absolutely.
Your builder warranty. So... A builder is going to want to stand behind his or her building practices and the materials they choose because that is what makes or breaks their business, basically.
Oh, yeah. The last thing they want is the reputation out there of, wow, I lost all these houses to mold and mildew and,
right.
and water. Nobody wants that.
So this is different by different climates and different regions.
Yes.
So choosing the right materials for the climate where you are is very important, and the right wall systems, and understanding you know, how the house needs to drain, because a well-built house takes into account that there's going to be water coming in, you know, on the outside of the wall from the elements, and that it needs to drain off, and it needs a place to dry out, mm-hmm. and you build knowing that you have to do that.
Yeah, everything is regional specific.
Right. Well, I remember my daughter telling me, she was in New Orleans for 5 years in
school. Oh, there's no moisture there, right?
Oh, my gosh. But she was talking about some builders that had brought wood in from another part of the country, and they were having to replace it all because
right.
it did not survive the New Orleans humidity.
It wasn't acclimated.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's great when we can take advantage of these systems and practices and things that work on a larger basis, but you do have to take the region into account.
Great point, though. You made me remember all that stuff that happened after Katrina
mm-hmm.
and the rebuilding of New Orleans. How many of those houses did they have mold and mildew issues
oh
because
gosh, yeah.
they brought in out-of-state or out-of-region materials?
For rebuilding.
For rebuilding, just because they needed a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't acclimated to that specific environment.
It really does bespeak how much we have to take all that into account.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's more harm than good.
And building science accounts for that.
Yes.
And I've seen that now living in another city in Oklahoma where it's much drier.
Mm-hmm.
We have different parameters to build around. And it's still the Midwest, so it's not horribly different, but it's enough.
But building techniques and building sciences, when you use them, you build a house in Las Vegas a whole lot different than you would in St. Louis.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it is night and day.
And there, they're conserving every drop of water they get. So.
Oh, yeah. There's a big difference in humidity levels without saying anything.
Yeah, I'm sure they have some mold and mildew issues, but I would expect they're much lower in a
yes.
desert climate.
Yes.
You would stand to reason, although they do get rain occasionally. And I've been caught in a deluge in Las Vegas. And it's
that just
crazy.
Sounds wrong.
It floods, or it did when I was there, because it's a desert. They
yeah.
don't have a lot of rain.
No place for the water to go.
But it's when that water shows up in unexpected places and unexpected times that it creates issues. And of course, like everything else in our life, it's the exceptions that we have to manage to because
right.
that's when we have to do something reactive and deal with it. Often case figuring out what the problem is and fixing it and then figuring out how to keep it from happening again. So prevent it from happening again. So in the case of moisture, if you have a moisture issue in your house, first is figure out what the source of it is so you can stop it.
It's like a doctor, you have to diagnose
right.
the issue.
There's some triage going on here, right? So you want to stop the water, and then you need to repair whatever has been damaged. And if it's wet, folks, replace
it. You're replacing it.
Replace it. And if you have mold and mildew in there, get a professional in to make sure it's taken care of you'll read on the internet all kinds of ways to get rid of mold and mildew.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do want a professional to handle that. It's too risky to our health. And mold and mildew has caused so many respiratory issues. And with asthma and respiratory issues at an epidemic level in many parts of the country, if not all parts of the country, I don't know the exact statistic, that's not something you want to mess around with.
Right. You want that indoor air quality in the house to be as breathable as possible. I mean, this is the reason why new homes that are built today have such a great environment to live in, because the air quality is fantastic compared to a house built 20 years ago.
So it's funny you talk about air quality. So you remember our guest, Dr. Katie Belisle Ifrig?
Yes.
Who had the book, I think it was Going Green for Geniuses. She talked in her book about how water vapor is actually a greenhouse gas.
I could see that, yeah.
I had never thought about that before, and I'm fairly scientifically trained. And I was like, okay, that was a super obvious thing, but water vapor in the wrong place, even on a global level,
it warms
does the wrong thing, yeah.
It'll warm the environment. So, it holds the heat.
Again, we're back to the good and the bad of water, and a balance being the proper thing. But that just, I don't know why that fact just popped into my head, but it really did.
Yeah, it's an interesting fact that most people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
When we think greenhouse gases, we usually think carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Right? That's
which
number
is
one
of them. And not that we want to get off on too much about greenhouse gases, but it just really hit home how big of a deal water is and water vapor.
Yeah.
It's huge. It drives our weather. It drives the comfort in your home.
Mm-hmm.
It can drive your indoor air quality and the health that is associated with that.
Yep.
Did I leave anything out?
Water's all around.
It is. And getting it right, being vigilant. By the way, you might put a humidity sensor in your home if you don't already have one. I'm noticing a lot of the smart thermostats can tie into a humidifier if you have one in your home. And read the humidity levels in your home.
And a lot of them, they'll be two-way, so they'll transfer from the thermostat themselves mm-hmm. to the HVAC system and fire up the humidifier inside the HVAC system.
Yeah. My learning thermostat in my last house before this one had a humidistat in it, so it would read out the humidity levels, which was good because I could keep an eye on it. And,
right.
And that's the easiest way to keep it in that 30 to 60% range. And by the way, I kind of kept an eye on my water usage because that was another way to tell if you have a water leak.
Yeah, if all of a sudden your water bill is like twice as much, you got a leak.
Right. Here's the other thing I think is so interesting to people that doesn't seem intuitive is that a water leak can waste so much water. And you're like, oh, it's just a drop at a time. But if it's a drop at a time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of drops.
Yeah. So it can really add up. So a lot of different ways water can get in your house in places you don't want it. Moisture management is critical to the quality of your indoor air and to your health.
Mm-hmm.
And too much is a bad thing and not enough's a bad thing. So balance is really key here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's trying to find that perfect balance in nature. We always look at, you're either in a drought or a deluge.
Not the truth.
Plain and simple.
So we don't want you to be in that case with your home. So we hope we've given you some practical tips to figure out how to get that good balance in your own home. Anything else we can think of?
No, I think that kind of wraps up moisture and moisture barriers.
And to everybody out there, remember that water is your friend
and your enemy.
So signing out on the Green Gab podcast. Have a great day.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.